Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Thunder Chats here with another word from our sponsors, BetOnline.ag. The only people that get off this time of year are pro athletes and us at BetOnline. With NFL, bowl season, and NBA in full swing over the holidays, BetOnline isn't taking a second off to make sure you have all the up to the second odds, news, and info. BetOnline has all the sports wagering info available you need with both desktop and mobile access. Head there today to get into the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV, that's capital letters BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
The Topic Thunder podcast. I am your host, Alex, and I'm rolling on the solo tip. So this is we're gonna harken back to where this all started for me. So welcome into the NTTB podcast once again, mixed in with Topic Thunder. You know, Dylan gets to go ahead and bring in his Thunder Chats. You know, ho. So, you know, I had an origin. I had a beginning also with my NTTB, Now That's Thunder Basketball podcast that I had with my brother-in-law, Anthony. And so I'm going to bring that tonight. And unfortunately, it is, you know, I wish the circumstances were different. But, man, for the first time in a long time, the Thunder suffer a second consecutive loss to the Brooklyn Nets. They got beat 115 to 124. The score would suggest that we lost by 9. It was a much uglier game than that. We actually made a game of it in the fourth, or kind of tried to make a game of it in the fourth quarter. But yeah, it was for naught. It was all that effort for naught. I kind of wish that Mark would have pulled the starters probably, you know, with about 8-7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, because, you know, even though it looked like we were making a comeback and, you know, scoring some points, it just wasn't in the cards for us tonight. So let's go ahead and look at this game. Let's go ahead and, you know, it's just me. So I'm just going to go ahead and review the game. I'm not necessarily going to do a single large item. But if we were going to do a single large item, I would go ahead and do my patented Shangle large item, because that is about the only bright spot in this game. So Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he had 34 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. He shot 58% from the field, 40% from 3. But this is the kicker. He shot, you know, 67% from the free throw line. He shot 10 of 15. He actually missed 5 free throws, which is totally rare for him. I mean, for every 11 for 11, 10 for 10, you know, for every perfect game that he has out there, he does, you know, average out. And so, you know, a 10 for 15 night is what he had tonight. And the Thunder overall, one of the better free throw shooting teams in the league, almost, you know, usually the best. They, as a team, shot 67% from the field. They shot, 16 of 24. So not good on their part. But this game, yeah, this game got away from this team really quick. The Thunder were down by 18 at the end of one. It just wasn't their night. It was one of those nights where at the beginning of the game, Brooklyn was making everything a lot like what happened on New Year's Eve, where in the first quarter, Brooklyn was making everything. But unfortunately, this continued on as the game progressed. And so, you know, the Thunder found themselves down by as much as 32 in this game. You know, parts of the third quarter, they were down by 32. Or was it the second quarter? It was the third quarter. Part of the third quarter, at one point, they were down by 32. And they, you know, to their credit, they brought it back down to 9 by the end of the game. They were as close as, I believe, 6 or 7 there at the end. But again, when you build that big of a mountain, it's hard to climb over it. And that's what the Thunder did. You know, with all their bricks from three, they built a huge mountain. They built a huge mansion, and they could not climb over it as hard as they tried. But Shea did have a great game, 34 points. And if you looked at it, for the most part, if you looked at the starters scoring-wise had a pretty good game. You know, Dub had 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Very efficient. Again, he shot, you know, 67% from the free throw line. Chet was 17, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. 0 of 4 from deep, and then 1 of 2 from the line. So, again, if you look at the numbers, just looking at the numbers, it looked okay. But, you know, the reality of it tells a different story. Giddey had 13 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Dort had 12 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. For the most part, the starters were okay. I mean, the starters were good. They did what they usually do. But the bench was putrid today. The bench only gave us 19 points. They shot 36% from the field. About the only bright spots from the bench were Micić. He finally had a good shooting night. 6 points on, I believe it was 3 or 4 shooting. Also added in his patented, you know, 3 assists. And then Wallace Kaysen, he did all right. He struggled a little bit on the defensive end. He had 8 points, 2 rebounds on the offensive end. You know, whenever the Thunder were gaining a little bit of momentum there at the end of the third quarter, he had a horrible brick at the end of the quarter. I think, you know, the ball went off the side of the backboard. But it happens. That happens sometimes. And, you know, if you're depending on the rookie to bring you back or to do something to get you excited, like, that's not necessarily a spot that you want to put a rookie in. You know, Mark Dagnall, he got a technical at the end of the game because most definitely Lonnie Walker or whoever, I think it was either Mikal Bridges or somebody, when they got the ball, it was a travel. You know, he took several steps, struggling to get the ball away from the defenders. It was not called. Mark let the referee know about it, and he got a technical, and good for him, because that is the kind of call that you cannot miss in that stage of the game. I think we were down by, I want to say about 6 or 7 at that point, maybe even a little bit. Don't think it was closer, about 6 or 7. And by the time the 2 free throws and the technical were shot, we were back down by 10, you know, 9 or 10. And so that was basically the game right there. And it was, you know, it was a big call, and it was a big call missed by the refs. You know, in the last 2-minute report, I'm pretty sure it's going to say that it was a travel by Bridges. On the net side of it, Claxton did a great job auditioning for our team. He had 23 points, 13 rebounds. He single-handedly out-rebounded the Thunder on the offensive glass. He had 8 offensive rebounds. The Thunder had 7 total as a team. Dinwiddie, we could not stop his penetration. We could not stop him getting into the lane. He had 23 points, shot 3 of 7 from deep. Mikal Bridges had 17 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. Dennis Smith Jr. came in. You know, those bench lineups came in. 13 points, 6 of 11 shooting. And then Cam Thomas, which is one of the players that I put down on my preview as far as to watch for. You know, he came in 19 points, 3 of 5 shooting from deep. He's just he's a microwave scorer, man. He had been struggling horrendously over the past 2 games. I don't think he'd made a field goal in the last 2 games, but he came in tonight, and he came in looking for his shot, and he got his. You know, he got 19 points. But man, like the Thunder were a step slow tonight. And that's one of the things that I said, one of the things that I noticed, especially in the first quarter of the game, the New Year's Eve game, is that they were a little bit too over aggressive on the defensive end. And so what that does, and so when you're, you know, over pursuing drives, whenever you're, you know, over pursuing attempts for steals, what that does is that gets your defense into an off position as far as defending, especially on the perimeter. And so, you know, the Nets had a lot of open looks. And in the first game, in the one on December 31st, they buried him in the first quarter. But the Thunder adjusted a little bit, but, you know, it's a make or miss league. And the Nets did not make a lot after the first quarter in that game. And so that's how the Thunder eventually, you know, won by 16 in that game. Tonight, unfortunately, the Nets kept on making their shots. The Thunder were, you know, kept on being a step slow on a lot of drives, dribble drives, a lot of, you know, the contests, three-point contests. And so what you saw tonight was basically what you would have seen on the 31st, but they were making their shots tonight. And so, you know, with that, the Thunder, you know, saw their deficit balloon to 32. They tried their hardest to come back from that. They got it, you know, they got it all the way down to 6 or 7 there late in the fourth quarter. But unfortunately, whenever you build that big of a deficit, it's extremely hard to come back, because you're battling not just the deficit itself, but you're battling the clock. And the clock got the best of the Thunder. And so they lose tonight, 115 to 124. As far as the bad of the game, again, we talked about the free throws. Usually one of the better free throw shooting teams in the league. We just, you know, a lot of times when it comes to this type of game, the legs are what goes whenever you're tired. The legs are what goes whenever you are just exhausted from travel, from, you know, playing just a string of games that were just, you know, big time games. You're talking about two games in Denver that you won. You're talking about a game against Minnesota. You're talking about a game against Boston. You know, the Thunder balled their asses off in those games. Like, and they were, you know, and they were for the most part close games. The Minnesota game, the Boston game was a close game there at the end. The Denver game, the first one, of course, they had to do what they had to do as far as, you know, coming back from a deficit and winning at the end. The next Denver game. But, you know, Denver's Denver. You know, Denver, the altitude and all that. And then the Minnesota game, Minnesota is always going to play us tough. And it was, you know, it was a pretty close game, pretty close contest. In this game, unfortunately, the free throws got the best of us. Rebounding, our Achilles heel. We lost the rebounding battle 51 to 36. Like I said, Nick Claxton out offensive rebound, the Thunder all by himself, 8-7. The Nets as a team grabbed 20 offensive rebounds, and that was another thing that prevented us from actually, you know, making a good comeback, making a comeback that actually put a lot of pressure on the Nets. Like, we made a comeback, but I don't think there was a lot of pressure on the Nets. Like, they were just like, it's one of those things where, you know, yeah, we're up by 20. Yeah, we're up by 18. Yeah, we're up by, you know, 15 now. Like, they're not really necessarily pressing too much. And I think one of the reasons why they weren't pressing is because they were grabbing offensive rebounds on the other end. Nick Claxton was a monster. De'Ron Sharp was a monster. And, you know, at the end of the game, when we needed a rebound, Dennis Smith Jr. comes in and tips in a shot, you know, to put them up, to give them 2 extra points. And it made it that much more difficult. And, you know, again, our Achilles heel comes back to bite us. I don't think we were going to win this game as far as, like, you know, rebounding is part of the reason. But, you know, it was a bad rebounding game, overall. Let's see. Good. I mean, we actually turned them over. This is one of the better teams at protecting the ball in the league. And we actually turned them over 15 times. Didn't really amount to anything. I think the defensive pressure in the second half turned up a little bit and we were able to generate a couple steals. But again, when you're down by 32, you know, what's a couple steals here or there? And then points in the paint, Oklahoma City did their thing, 64 points tonight compared to Brooklyn, 48. You know, we got in there, we scored some, but we weren't hitting our threes today. You know, our three-point shot, we didn't hit our first three-point shot till like 5 minutes left in the second quarter. And so whenever you combine all those things together, it is what it is. You know, this is what you get. You know, you get trounced by the Nets at their place. 9-point loss was not really a 9-point loss. That really should have just been a 22 to 25 point loss in the book. And that's what it should be. And the Thunder are tired. You know, they looked a little bit tired, and the question need to be asked, you know, is Chet hitting the rookie wall? Is Kaysen hitting the rookie wall? Like, these guys have played a ton of games, and they've played a ton of games consecutively. Chet has not sat out at all this year. Kaysen has not sat out at all. And so, you know, you have to kind of ask the question whether, you know, the rookie wall is a real thing at this moment. And it could be. It could be. And January, unfortunately, is jam-packed. Jam-packed with 17 games, 5 back-to-backs. You know, we're currently 1-2 in January. And so, you know, it'd be interesting to see where we go from here. Like, we do have a couple easier games coming up. Washington coming up, San Antonio coming up. I don't think Detroit, but that's on the radar, whether this month or next month. But yeah, we do have some easier games. But when you looked at the schedule, you know, Atlanta struggling a little bit, 13-19 whenever we played them. The Nets, we just beat them, and they're 15-20. Like, it looked like these were the types of teams that the Thunder were beating convincingly there in the, you know, the first 30 games of the season. And so we fast forward to the last two games, and it's just been a struggle. It's been a struggle. The team looks a little bit tired. But this is the NBA. You know, this is the NBA, and this is what happens in the NBA from time to time. Whether you're a great team or not, you're going to lose games. Whether you're a great team or not, you're going to have bad shooting nights. Whether you're a great team or not, you're going to be slow on defense because you're tired. And so that's what we're seeing right now. And so this is a great test. In my opinion, this is a great test. You know, we're currently third in the West. You know, Denver won yesterday with that amazing shot by Jokic. So we're currently third in the West. Still in good position, still in good standing. It's about, you know, this is a little bit of pressure. And that's a good thing. You know, feeling a little bit of heat, feeling a little bit of pressure, it is a good thing for a young team. And it's a good thing for them to face this. And it's a good thing to say, hey, this game in Washington, we shouldn't mess around. Because even though Washington has, I believe, 5 or 6 wins this season, you have guys like Kyle Kuzma, Jordan Poole, who, even though they're inefficient most nights, they have, you know, each of those players has scored over 50 points in a game in their career before. You know, you have guys like Daniel Gafford that can grab rebounds, big guy that can grab rebounds. You have NBA players. Every team is going to have NBA players, going to have professionals on their teams. And on any night, they could go off. You know, they could have a great game. And so, you know, this is just, you know, the Thunder don't play until Monday. So they have 2 days to kind of rest their bodies, maybe look at film, look at things that are going on. But yeah, I mean, it's, they get a little time to rest, but it's also a time to kind of reflect and be like, hey, we can't just rest on our laurels. You know, the NBA season, you know, if anything that I've noticed over the last couple of years is that as the season progresses, the cream rises to the top. The top teams rise, and the teams that are kind of frauds, they start to fall off. And so now's the time to see. I truly believe that the Thunder are a top team. Don't get me wrong. But championship contender, you know, one of the elites in the league, I thought that was a little bit premature. You know, it kind of, like I said, you know, I've said in previous podcasts where it scares me a little bit to see how this team is performing and to, like, not necessarily know where they're going, because this is unprecedented. You know, we talk about the first iteration of the Thunder, but the first iteration of the Thunder, you know, they went to the playoffs a couple times. Like, we're looking at this team, we're saying, hey, can this team win a championship in their first go-round? Can this team make it to the finals in their first go-round? Can this team make it to the Western Conference final in their first go-round? And as much as I would love to say, oh, yeah, it's guaranteed, we got to go through the fights. We have to go through the struggles that every championship team has to go through. Like, even the Heatles, even, you know, the LeBron-led Heat, they had to go through, you know, that they were a great team. They were a great collection of players. But their first season, they had to go through, you know, through Dirk. And you know, they had to go through a Dirk Nowitzki that was hell-bent on getting a championship, on finally, you know, getting that championship that he'd always coveted. And for as great as the Heatles were, for as great as LeBron was in his run with Miami, you know, they had to go through it. They had to go through the struggles in order to get that championship against us the next season. And so this team is going to have to go through it. You know, my kids asked, you know, I had to talk to my kids and be like, you know, yo, it's going to take time. This is not just going to happen right now. So, you know, still the Thunder just have to go through it. But I am excited to see how they come out of this as far as, you know, as far as how they do mentally, how they, you know, how strong their will is, how strong their mentality is. We've seen how strong their will is, you know, their ability to come back from deficits, their ability to stay in games, their ability to win, even though they may not be shooting great, even though, you know, whatever thing is keeping them from playing perfect. But now, you know, you've had all the talk. You've had all the talk from the national media saying, oh, this team is great. And, oh, Stephen A. saying, hey, my fault. You know, you have my respect now, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You have my respect now, Oklahoma City Thunder. The TNT crew saying, yo, you need to watch out for this team. That's still a possibility. This team is still very dangerous. You do not want to face this team in the playoffs because you don't know what can come from it. But now they're facing a little bit of, you know, of trepidation. They're failing. You know, I want to see how resilient this team is. And playing against Washington, it's a good test to see how resilient this team is. Are you able to beat a 5-26 team pretty easily? Or are you going to struggle, or are you going to lose? You know, there's a possibility that they could lose. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how they come out of this, this test, you know, these little bumps in the road. But I did ask you guys for some questions, and I did ask you guys for sending in some comments. And so I'm gonna go ahead and read some of them, and Thunder Nation, everything's going to be okay. I know that it looks a little bit bleak, but you know, we have 11 losses. Like, I believe there's 3 or 4 teams that have less losses than us. And then there's 25 teams that have more. Like, we're doing good. We're doing okay. You have to remember that those wins that we banked in October, November, and December are going to come back to help us out whenever we, you know, we have that eventual struggle, whenever we have that eventual either injury bug or tired bug or, you know, whatever. You know, it's a good thing that we had the record that we have, because we can bank in some wins. We can bank in some, you know, have a little bit of insurance, have a little bit of cushion to help us out moving forward. But yeah, so looking at Twitter real quick, just great podcasting. This is the thing about doing a podcast by yourself, is that whenever you ask
for the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For questions and things on Twitter, you have to look at it, and you have to go through it. Let's see. So I said, not the result we wanted, but this is a safe space, so leave your questions and your comments on the Thunder's recent slide. Again, this is the first time this season that we've had to say those words in relation to the Thunder. So first one from our boy Dylan from Thunder Chats. He asks, is it an act of betrayal if I put the opposing team's players in a parlay if it's over on rebounds, or is it just acknowledging the problem? To that I say, why not both? Like, it is not an act of betrayal. Like, it's your money, get your money. But we know that that is an issue for the Thunder. We saw that in this game. We've seen that throughout the season. And the Thunder have improved a little bit in December when it came to, you know, especially with the starters, as far as rebounding, as far as gang rebounding. But it is still an issue with the Thunder. And so, yes, go ahead and bet the over on an opposing team's player getting X amount of rebounds against the Thunder. It's going to probably happen. We don't necessarily care too much. You know, the Thunder strategically don't necessarily care too much about size. They don't necessarily care too much about rebounding as far as, yo, we, you know, this is an issue we have to address. Like, it just kind of goes into the way that they play on the floor. And so, you know, this is not the this is not the Enes Kanter and Steven Adams center duo where, you know, we were leading the league in offensive rebounds and great on the boards. You know, instead, you know, we would much rather grab and go, and having big plotting centers out there doesn't really work with that recipe. So yeah, so keep on betting the over, brother. Get your money. All right, so from his name is Danji, and it's at the underscore Modanji. He said, I'm interested in what caused the early game hesitation. Lots of pickups on dribble drives and uncharacteristic miscues on inside and outside passes. So I did notice that, like, they weren't necessarily as strong on their dribble drives as they usually are. They weren't as, I guess, committed on their dribble drives. Don't know. You know, that Brooklyn is a long team out there. Like, you know, you have Mikal Bridges, you have Cam Johnson, Dorian Finney-Smith, even Spencer Dinwiddie is a long-armed point guard. And then you have Nick Claxton. So they are a very long team. And so when they're out there, especially whenever they're focusing in on Shea, it's just a bunch of arms in Shea's vision. Like, it's just a bunch of arms around Shea. And while Shea has done great, and he did great in this game, 34 points, regardless of how many arms are out there, it does make it a little bit more difficult, and you do kind of hesitate a little bit more when you see that much length out there. We do that to other teams. You know, you have Shea out there at 6'6", 6'7". You have, you know, J-Dub out there, 7'2" wingspan. You have Chet out there. And so we do that to other teams, you know, where we clog up the lane, you know, we cause them to pass out, you know, pass out into the perimeter. Sometimes we're able to get steals off of that. Sometimes we're able to get bad passes and turnovers off of that. Sometimes we're able to get a pass that isn't necessarily straight to the shooter. So it kind of, you know, throws the shooter off a little bit. But that's how we defend also. And so I think tonight, you know, Brooklyn just had a game plan. They executed it pretty good on their defensive end. And, you know, we, you know, sometimes the idea of hunting for the perfect shot lends to overpassing. And so that happens sometimes with the Thunder. And so I think that happened tonight, especially in the first quarter. I do think we overpassed a little bit. I do think that the length gave us problems. I think we stopped in our drives when we saw the length out there. And so, you know, that happens from time to time. Not really something that I see bothering this team moving forward, but it happens from time to time, especially with the Nets. Nets are a very long team. You know, they have a lot of wingspan out there. And so that gives teams trouble some nights. The other question from Danji is going to be, Micić coming in and steadying was great. Thoughts on Micić? I've said this before. If Micić played on a bad team, but he was allowed to play like 32 minutes, I think he would probably be one of the league leaders in assists. Like, he comes in and he finds players pretty easily, pretty quickly for assists. I do think the speed of the game, he struggles with that a little bit. I do think the size of the players out there, you know, that he's struggling with that. But, you know, tonight we saw a game where, you know, he took advantage of his shooting on the offensive end. He got, you know, a couple drives in, a couple shots inside, you know, inside the arc. And I think he did a good job of that. So, you know, the thing about Micić is I don't think we're going to know exactly what we have until like around March. You know, like, the plan with Micić was to bring him along slowly. Like, he was not going to play a lot in October, November, and December, and he didn't. But as we ramped up into January and, you know, we're going into February and March, I do think he's going to get a lot more time out there. And I do think he's going to get a lot more comfortable out there. You know, the three-point line, it being a little bit further away, you know, that seems to bother him a little bit. But again, it takes time. It takes repetition, and it takes, you know, game repetition. And so that's what I think we're seeing now. I think we're probably, you know, one of the questions that was asked in a previous podcast was whether, you know, whose three-point shooting do you think is false in December? Like, whose three-point shooting? And I said that I thought Micic's was false. I thought he was going to improve. And so hopefully we see that. Let's see. Next question by Ben Glover at Ali Karamazov. Dasvidanya, comrade. Will Mark ever admit he could have been better in a given game? He is a terrific coach. We have lost 11, and I only think 3 of those are on him. But there is never reflection on mistake he made, and there were some major ones tonight. Man, I don't think any coach is ever just going to be like, yeah, that's completely on me. Like, we've heard it from a coach before. But it's almost like some coaches do that in order to protect the players. A lot of people are kind of getting down on Mark because of his rotations, but I also think that even though our players aren't necessarily hurt, like, we want to do a little bit of, we want to rest them a little bit without actually, you know, saying that they're out of the game. So, like, for instance, you know, against the Hawks, Lindy Waters played instead of, say, Kenrich Williams. Kenrich Williams is a little bit older than the rest of our guys. He's 29 years old, and he's not necessarily used to playing, you know, 60, 70, 80 games. You know, he missed the first, I believe it was 12 games, 12 to 15 games of this season. And so, you know, giving him a night off on the first night of a back-to-back, you know, that's what that is. And so those rotations, you know, it's going to happen. So, you know, as far as Mark and his mistakes, I, you know, like the play in the Hawks game, like, I thought that play was amazing. But you look on Thunder Twitter and it's like, it's completely divided 50-50 as far as, like, you know, why are you giving, you know, Isaiah Joe the final shot instead of giving Shai Gilgeous-Alexander the final shot? And, you know, I think we're almost like in the moment that, you know, or Russell Westbrook was here, he'd take the final shot. Or if Kevin Durant was here, like, you know, the superstar has to take it. And, you know, by golly, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has taken plenty of clutch shots. But the defense is going to be completely keyed in on him. And so drawing up a play that generated a open look for your three-point shooter, that was a great play. And so, you know, it's, I'll be honest with you, it's very hard for me to, like, judge coaching and, you know, grade coaching. But I can tell you one thing is that so far, Mark has been the best coach for the Thunder. Better than Scotty, better than PJ Carlissimo, better than Billy Donovan. Like, he is quicker on his feet. He is great at drawing plays, out of bound plays. You know, he's great at that. And as we've seen, he's manufactured an offense and a defense that works. You know, we were, you know, before this game started, I believe we were 5th in offense and we were 6th in defense. Like, what more do you want? I mean, and you know, part of the population will say, oh, we want 1-1, you know, 1st in defense, 1st in offense. But that's not going to happen. Like, this team is still the 2nd youngest team in the league. The fact that we are number 5 in offense, number 6 in defense, number 3 in net rating, that is partially because of the coach, you know, partially because of the players, and the players are doing a great job, but the coach has to implement a system that works for all his players. And Mark has done that. And so, you know, in my mind, he's going to make mistakes. He's also growing with this team. He's also still one of the youngest coaches in the league. And so I'm okay with letting him grow and make mistakes. If he made mistakes over the last couple games, hopefully he learns from them. But he's not going to go and be like, yeah, I made a mistake. You know, we don't ask Russell Westbrook to do that. We don't ask Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to be like, hey, you know, you missed that shot at the end. Tell us about it. You know, so I don't see why we would do that to a coach. Next question from RST at RST622R states. If OKC doesn't make a move this in season, how far do you think the team can go as currently constructed? As far as currently constructed, a top six seed, number one. And I do think they can do some damage in the first round of the playoffs, even get to the second round. I don't think this is going to be a Western Conference champion contender. I don't think this is a finals contender. I don't think this is a championship contender team. And that's fine. We were in the play-in last year. We were in the lottery 2 years ago that we got the number two pick, the number 11 pick, and the number 12 pick. Like, we're doing okay. We're doing good, people. And so, as currently constructed, we've seen what we can do. In a seven-game series in the playoffs, is that going to be different? Yes, it's going to be completely different. But I have all the faith in the world that in a playoff series, Mark Daigneault can go ahead and he can coach, he can adjust, he can, you know, bring in something new. I have all the confidence in the world that he can do that. And until he proves me otherwise, until we get into the playoff series and he completely botches something, you know, then we'll have that conversation. But until then, again, we haven't been to the playoffs yet. And so we have to see. And so as currently constructed, I do think we're a playoff team, top six. And I do think that we can do some damage in the first round and maybe even get to the second round. And that's, you know, that's what I think. From our good friend, Sarah Rebuild, SKS in the paint. So she called him Keynote, and I love that. She's talking about Keyontae Johnson, but I love Keynote. That is a keynote speaker. I love that. You know, maybe that could be his new nickname. But Keyontae seems to be really good on the blue. Is there something with his contract that he's never really brought up? Wouldn't it be beneficial to play man to get teams interested in him if we are doing different rotations? So the Keyontae question. I do think Keyontae is going to come up pretty soon. A couple games ago, I was talking to Ryland Styles, who covers not just the Thunder, but also the Blue. Shout out, Ryland. And he was like, yeah, he's coming up soon. And he's doing great. He had 25 points tonight against the G League tonight. I think we're slow playing him as far as getting him on the Thunder and seeing what he can do with the Thunder. But I do think that 17 games in January, five back-to-backs, I do think this is a good opportunity to go ahead and bring him in. And I do think we are going to do that here pretty quickly. So, you know, those of you that are waiting for your Keyontae Johnson time, it's coming. Don't worry. Coming very quickly. And then Trey Mann. Wouldn't it be beneficial to play Trey Mann to get teams interested in him? Yes and no. I mean, I think teams, you know, like front offices know what they get in Trey Mann. You know, they know that he can be a lot like Cam Thomas. You know, we've seen that before in his rookie year when he had, you know, what was it, two quarters where he scored, was it 20 points in a quarter, I think. So we've seen what he can do. It's just about putting together the entire package. Like, flashes in the pan will get you, you know, a couple opportunities, but you have to show that you are an all-around good player. And so, you know, we've tried it with Trey, but, you know, Trey has, we've tried to get him to eat his broccoli instead of his Skittles. And, you know, it's gotten to the point now where our roster is just so filled that he is not getting too many opportunities. And for the sake of winning, you know, this team, you know, for everybody that's talking about his rotations, Mark's rotations, like, he's not out here just experimenting with anybody. Like, he's playing the same about, you know, 10, 11 players every game. There are some, you know, there are some anomalies thrown out there where, like, you know, Lindy Water comes in for a game, or, you know, Davis Berton plays like, you know, 12 minutes in a game. Ooze is always, you know, the wild card whenever he's available to the Thunder. And again, Ooze had a great game today for the Blue also. I mean, as far as giving him time, I just don't think there is enough time to give him minutes to showcase him. And the thing is, like, a teams will want Trey Mann to test him out. The thing is, we're not going to get equal value for Trey Mann. We're not going to get a, you know, mid first round pick for him. We may get a couple seconds. We may get a second He may just be part of a trade to get another player, but we're not going to get probably equal value as far as what we have spent for Trey. Let's see. Chode Holmgren, Rookie of the Year. I don't know what your at is. Let me see. At Chode _ Malone. Hey, awesome. So he said, slow starts and our glaring issue with rebounding. So, you know, this is probably one of the comments that I say, hey, how do you feel? This is a safe space. Exactly. Yeah. Another slow start and rebounding. Yeah, that definitely is our issue here in the last couple games. And then rebounding has been an issue all season long. Let's see. Mason. So at Mason _ Noseball. Has Giddey's recent improvement increased his trade value or increased the chance that he stays in OKC? Tough question. I don't know. I don't know if this recent improvement has done anything around the league to kind of be like, oh, you know, we really want him on our team. Teams know what Giddey can give you. Teams know that in this Thunder system, there's a possibility that Giddey's full complement of strengths are not being used. And it's kind of a little bit difficult to do that when you have SGA and you have Dub out there and you have Chet, who, you know, Chet takes a lot of the possessions, you know, as far as, and so like there's not a lot of possessions to go around for Giddey to do his thing. Now, with that said, what, you know, if this continues on and if Giddey continues to do what he's been doing over the past, you know, 7 to 10 games where he's been the ultimate connector on this team, then yeah, I mean, I would love to see that going forward. But man, when you're going to be paying, you know, you're already paying SGA max money, you're going to be paying Dub and Chet max money. If you don't need to have a fourth player out there that makes max money, that has deficiencies on defense, has deficiencies in shooting, he may be the odd man out. When you add the off the court issues that may be, you know, that are still around, you know, he may be the odd man out. Do I think we're going to trade him this season? I don't think we are. But you know, when you start talking about the economics of things, it could be a possibility. You know, it could be a possibility that he gets moved, you know, in the offseason, or he gets moved, you know, a season from now because of that. Because it's not just his play. It's not just, but if we're going to be paying four max contracts, we want to make sure that all four of those players fit the system seamlessly. And as we've seen throughout the season, he's doing great now, but there are glaring, you know, issues from time to time as far as his fit in the system. And so I wouldn't say that he's going to get traded this year, you know, this season before February. But I do think it is a possibility moving forward. Now, if there is a trade out there for a player that we really want, I could definitely see Josh Giddey being part of that. But, you know, whether his play is what it is, like, I don't think a stretch of 10 games is going to make or break whether he stays with the team or not. You know, teams, they judge things based off of, you know, the entire picture, not just the snapshot of what we're seeing now. Next question. Let's see. So CJ at Corian291. So at least I got my triple all-star vote in today for our starting five. Yes. Damn it. It's 12:07. So you don't have time anymore, but I hope that you voted today because today was the triple. It counts three times. So if you vote, each of those votes count times three. So hopefully you did that. Hopefully you saw that SGA was third in the list of guards for the West and Chet was ninth. And so, you know, get out there and vote. You know, we voted for an arena and damn it, we voted well. Get out there and vote, you know, get on the NBA app and create your NBA ID so that you can vote every 24 hours, every day. But let's get these guys to the All-Star game and let's go ahead and make it 100% possible for SGA to be a starter. You know, let's not leave it to chance. Let's not leave it to the coaches, to the media. I think it's the coaches and the players. Let's, you know, because they'll get him in. The players know. The players, 100%, the players will vote for SGA to get into the game as a starter. The media also, you know, the media, you know, Curry is ahead of him and Doncic is ahead of him. I agree with Doncic. Doncic is having a great season. And I understand people voting for him. Curry, you know, Curry is, he is where he's at, number two on the list because of his history. He has a lot of stands. He has a lot of fans. Golden State is in San Francisco in the Bay Area that has a huge population, that has a huge Asian population. So that translates over to the vote in China. And so, yeah, I mean, Steph is ahead of Shea by about 400,000 votes. And I believe that has a lot to do with it, because on the merit of like team success and on the merit of stats, SGA hasn't beat. And so, you know, just looking at that, you know, we have to do our part to try to get SGA in there as a starter. So vote. Vote when you can. Last one we got on here. So Malcolm T4 at Malcolm T4. So it's Malcolm Tipster. Love some of these at. So you want to be rich with sports betting, then you have to know this person. I will not explain. What the hell? Okay, whatever. Let's see. Are there any more? I believe that is it. Thank you very much for the questions. Thank you very much for the comments. Man, 45 minutes. I did not think I was going to be talking about this game for 45 minutes, but you know, I asked you guys for questions and comments and you guys came through like you always do. So appreciate that. So we play Washington on Monday. We get 2 days off, Saturday and Sunday, to rest. Okay, hopefully look at video. Hopefully, you know, get a couple shoot arounds in. But I do hope that the guys just kind of rest a little bit. You know, they deserve that. They need that. And this month is going to be tough. You know, this month is still, we're six days into this month, and we still have 14 more games. And so I believe the next 2 days off is going to be like in the 20s of this month. And then after that, it's, again, a game. It's either going to be a back-to-back or it's a game. A day off, a game, a game, a day off, a game. So this team is tired. This team is tired. And it's, you know, this happens. You know, if anything, the loss against Atlanta was a scheduled loss. You know, whenever you look at teams and, you know, at the end or at the beginning of a, you know, back to back and they're traveling and they travel different time zones, it happens. And especially when your plane gets delayed and you arrive into Atlanta at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, when I'm on a plane, I can't sleep. I can't sleep sitting, you know, sitting down. I have to be in a bed and preferably my bed. And so, you know, I'm a little bit of a diva when it comes to sleeping. And I'm pretty sure there's a couple of the players on the team that are divas when it comes to sleeping also. So when they go on the road, it's very difficult for them to actually get their quality sleep. And so that's happening to the team. And that's okay. And we'll get, you know, we'll get over this. We'll get through this. We play Washington on Monday. It's a good thing that we play a team like Washington on Mondays. Hopefully we can go ahead and get our kicks in and, you know, and get and blow them out a little bit and get, you know, get confident about ourselves again. But it's just a little blip in the screen. And I have the utmost confidence in this team that they're going to go ahead and perform to their utmost and get back on the winning track. But with that said, God bless. Hoop when you can. Remember that we have our fan event on the 13th of January. So it is currently Saturday, the 6th of January right now. So in a week, as far as what I've read and what I've seen, it's going to be a little bit cold. It might even be snowy that day. So make sure you come dressed for the weather. and then also make sure if you have not gotten a ticket yet, I believe we still have a couple of tickets remaining. So get in there. You know, get your opportunity to go ahead and take a picture on the court that all your favorite players play on, and then also to try a half court shot to get some lower bowl seats. It's 12 o'clock. I'm tired. I'm stumbling through my words. So God bless. Hoop when you can. And as always, thunder up. And this has been the NTTB podcast, people. See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Topic Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder.
Thunder up!
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.